Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Broke the story. Jackson Dart, USC quarterback, had an arthroscopic surgery. And if Kaylee Ure wasn't on the scene, USCfootball.com, I don't know if that would be out there. She's joining us now from Southern California. We got a nice day here in the Pacific Northwest. I'll be at the game at USC tomorrow night. Who are we going to see at quarterback? Keaton Slovis?
Yep, that's what USC is expecting. But to be fair, we haven't actually gotten confirmation that Keaton Slovis is 100% healthy. So we could see QB3 Miller Moss, who is also a true freshman, play against Oregon State. But that's kind of the new thing in the Dante Williams era now that he's USC's interim head coach. He's very secretive about injuries, and I think most head coaches are. I think just USC media has been spoiled by Clay Helton for the last 6 years. He was very open about injury updates. So we don't really know what's happening with Keaton Slovis yet, but he did practice during the open practices this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. But he looked good and looked healthy, so I'm expecting Keaton Slovis.
Give us an idea of what happened to Jackson Dart and how different USC is with him at quarterback than Keaton Slovis.
Yeah, so Slovis went down in the first series of the game. And, you know, it was interesting. I heard a lot of talk before the game that, you know, Dante Williams might have a little hand in the offense, mix things up a little bit. And even they had planned going into the game that Jackson Dart was going to have some packages against Washington State. So we were going to see Jackson Dart play in this offense no matter what on Washington on Saturday. But I don't think anyone expected as much as we saw from him. But he's just, you know, Graham Harrell, the offensive coordinator, calls him a gunslinger, and that's kind of what he is. He's going to make freshman mistakes. He had two picks in the game, but he's going to have some nice, nice throws that just look like they're on a rope. You know, and that's what we saw in spring camp and fall camp. He's an electric quarterback who will take risky shots, but they pay off, you know. So in this offense, I think Graham Harrell's version of the air raid needs a little bit of a riskier quarterback that will make those tough throws, because it's hard sometimes for USC's wide receivers to be schemed open. So I think it works that way with Jackson Dart because he has that gunslinger mentality. But, you know, I think it was a mix of both that we saw in Washington State. I think we saw some new wrinkles. I think Dante Williams got a little bit involved, but I also think Dart just provides a different element, especially with his legs. You know, when USC's offensive line can't do their job, he presents another option for this offense, kind of Sam Darnold-ish. That's the word we heard a little bit after in post-game interviews. Some of the players that were there for Sam Darnold were like, he kind of reminds me of Sam Darnold. So he definitely adds a boost to this offense.
Meniscus injury, how severe is that, or is it just a trim? What do you know?
So first off, USC has been very secretive about this. You know, Dante Williams said that Jackson was day-to-day. He's fine. USC has their own, video-produced show, and they had Jackson Dart on, but they covered the camera when he walked up to the table when he left. So my ears were kind of perked. I was like, something doesn't seem right about this, especially since we didn't see him at practice. But I've seen him in photos in the past couple of days. He's been walking around a little bit, you know, so I think it was minor. That's what I was told, but this was not, people did not want this to get out. So I still don't know the full severity, but the fact that we've seen him at least in the weight room standing seems like a good sign. I think USC just wanted to, and the Dart camp as well, wanted to get him back healthy as soon as possible. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like it was severe. That's what I've heard, but again, I don't fully know in order to confirm that.
How do we know he's out? You know, because I've seen, you know, James Williams once upon a time in the NFL had an arthroscopic surgery and played a game a week later. Like, how confident are you that Dart is out for this game?
I honestly don't know. You know, I don't know the severity and if he's, you know, Wonder Woman or Wonder Man, I should say, and he could come out there. I mean, we've seen USC's players push it a little bit, and so we could see that. But again, Keaton Slovis is the starter, and that's kind of the elephant in the room is that, yeah, you know, no one in practice this week really affirmed, hey, Keaton Slovis is our guy. Yeah, our backup is dinged up, but that doesn't matter because Keaton Slovis is the guy. We didn't hear anything like that. It was just like, we'll see what happens on Saturday. And talking to USC sources, I was kind of asking, why aren't you, like, backing Keaton Slovis a little bit more? And the thing I kept hearing was, oh, it's a competitive advantage. We want Oregon State to prepare for two quarterbacks. But in my mind, you know, Keaton Slovis already has mental toughness issues. He's admitted it before. That's why he struggled a little bit in 2020. And why wouldn't you back up your quarterback a little bit more to be the starter heading into this game, you know, after he saw the performance that Dart had and has been in that situation himself with JT Daniels? So it was kind of the elephant in the room this week. Why isn't Keaton Slovis getting more support from his coaches publicly? I don't know. And so maybe this is a big Houdini thing and Dart will be magically fine on Saturday, but I have confirmed, I've triple checked that he did get surgery. He did tear his meniscus. So it could be a miracle. We'll see on Saturday.
We're talking to Keely Ewer of USCFootball.com. How different are they with Slovis? And you mentioned, you know, the support of Slovis is, you know, with Clay Helton gone, is it possible Slovis isn't as popular in this locker room, or how do you read that?
Well, here's the thing. Keaton Slovis has always been offensive coordinator Graham Harrell's guy from day one. Even when JT Daniels looked like he was the clear starter, Slovis was named the backup as a true freshman. And so he's always been Harrell's guy. But internally, I think a lot of people are intrigued by what Dart can bring to the offense. You know, I think everyone was super excited by what Keaton Slovis did in 2019 and then was a little confused by what they saw in 2020. And granted, Slovis said that it was a arm injury that kind of messed with his head because he's never really had accuracy problems before in his life. But I think internally, you know, Slovis is a little bit of what I've been told is a little bit of a loner, you know, like he likes to do things on his own. He's kind of just a guy who does things by himself, which I understand. And that's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But when you're the third string, you're the third year starter quarterback, you know, and you don't get voted team captain, it's a little eyebrow raising. So, I mean, I think if this was a Clay Helton-led team, we'd have the full support. We'd hear it from Clay Helton that Keaton Slovis would be the guy, and there's no, you don't lose your job to injury. But with Dante Williams, he keeps saying, hey, whoever's going to give us the best chance to win. So I think there is a possibility that we could see some shakeup if Slovis doesn't come out on Saturday and really establishes himself as, hey, I'm the starter, and I've been the starter for the last couple of years. So we'll see. This is a big opportunity for Keaton Slovis to prove himself or reprove himself. And William said that Slovis came out this week during practice and looked hungry and played hard. So we'll see the performance we get from Slovis, but it's definitely a question mark going forward.
Keely, let me ask you, you know, psychology really important in sports. I love sort of going down this rabbit hole, but this is a team that lost its coach after week two. Dante Williams comes in. I didn't like the way USC looked early, and maybe the plane on the tarmac had something to do with that last week, but then they really rallied in the second half. I'm feeling like there could be a letdown here. Oregon State's coming to town. It's not Oregon. Where is the mental state of USC football right now?
I mean, it's anyone's guess. You know, I honestly don't know what we're going to see from this team each week. You know, Stanford, I didn't think it would be – I thought USC would still win. I thought it would be close, but not the game that we saw. And so we talked to USC's coaches after the Washington State game, and we were like, what adjustments were made in the second half? And everything we heard from the coaches were that USC's players were trying too hard. They were pressing. They really wanted to win for Dante Williams, for each other. And so that's what you saw in the second half. Now, that might be coach speak. That might be true. But I think it really will come down to Saturday, because this might be an emotional victory last Saturday. And can you actually put it together in your own stadium against Oregon State? This is a scrappy Oregon State team. I don't think some people are underestimating this team, but I don't know. You know, I honestly don't know, because I always say USC, there's what they should do, what they could do, and what they end up doing. And sometimes those don't align. So I don't really know. And sometimes with this offense under Keaton Slovis, it hasn't been as productive or had a rhythm to it as it probably should. So I think if Dart was in the mix, then I think I'd be more confident that this offense would be able to produce on the field. But from what we've seen so far with this Keaton Slovis-led offense, I don't know if it can be as successful as we saw on last Saturday. So, honestly, my best educated guess is that I don't know, because this team has shown everything in the last 3 weeks. So we'll see.
I think that's fair here. Again, we're talking to USAFootball.com reporter Keely Yor, who broke the story on Jackson Dart suffering a meniscus injury against Washington State. The overall talent pool, we've seen reports in the last 24 to 48 hours kind of trying to explain what happened with Clay Helton. Are they not as physical as USC teams have been in the past? Did they get too far away from their identity and go air raid? What's your read on kind of where USC football went wrong?
Man, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, and I think it goes above Clay Helton. You know, the athletic department, you know, my boss Ryan Abraham has called it the country club. For a long time, it was former USC athletes who got the AD role when they probably shouldn't have. And a lot of the people in the athletic department were just complacent and happy to be, you know, in that country club atmosphere. So that meant that you were making poor choices when it came to hiring coaches or supporting your coaches. Also, they were really frugal when they didn't need to be. It's USC. You got to support your coach and your program. So, I think at first it starts with the ADs, and then with Clay Helton, you know, he was never a head coach prior to getting the job at USC, and USC is not the school where you learn on the job. And so I think that was the problem, where he was hiring assistants that were not developing players, and that was the issue. And then you see recruits not getting developed. Recruits see that players aren't getting developed, and that just spirals, you know. And so I think the move to the air raid was actually a reflection of poor offensive line recruiting. You know, I think it eases up on your offensive line if you have a very pass happy offense. And so I think that was just a reflection of the poor recruiting classes. So, you know, it's all a spiral. You know, USC's assistant coaches wouldn't recruit. It was a snowball that kept snowballing on itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's what happens, I think, over time. Really nice guy, Clay Helton. I sat with him on Media Day. You know, you've interviewed him, you've talked with him. That's a nice person. Nice human being. Yeah. Were you surprised that USC made the move, or did you kind of feel like the first chance they got, they might do it?
No, I was aware that USC's admin was, this is kind of a make or break year for Clay Helton. I was told prior to even the firing that there were checkpoints in place for Clay Helton that the admin would check in throughout the season, that if they weren't on pace to at least go to a Pac-12 championship, that would be ground for Clay Helton's immediate removal. So I knew that, they barely won against Fresno State. It wasn't a convincing win. And then to be basically embarrassed by Stanford, I was definitely on alert that whole weekend, knowing that something could happen. So I definitely thought that USC's admin definitely had run its course with Clay Helton. I just didn't know whether or not it was going to be a midseason firing, because that's kind of the MO of the past ADs, of the midseason firing. And I think this admin tries to be a little bit more buttoned up and better in the public eye, but they made the move, and I think it's smart. You know, they have a really long time to search for their next coach and kind of advertise what this place could be. And they put in the infrastructure that was missing prior. You know, they beefed up the support staff, and the strength staff, nutrition, stuff that was just critical things that were just missing from USC's football program. So now, since they've come in 2019, they've made USC a much more attractive place for a coach that really wants to, you know, bring USC back to what it could be, you know?
USC should be able to recruit, should be able to dominate. Mario Cristobal at Oregon has done really well in Southern California. Not surprised that his name has come up. What do you expect they're going to do with that hire as you sort of read the landscape?
So the thing about USC, Mike Bohn and Brandon Sosma, they hired Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. They have a whole process for how they want to go about filling a coaching spot. And so I think it's going to be, they move in silence. They don't want anyone to know what they're doing. If there's going to be leaks, it's coming from the agent side of things. I think every name in the book has been thrown out there so far, and I think people who haven't even gotten reached out to are saying, hey, I don't want the USC job, which I think is just hilarious. But I think they're going to go for someone who can develop. You know, it's kind of an in-between spot. You know, it's not the USC of old that you can come in and you're driving the Ferrari, to use the quote from the Athletic story yesterday. But there's still potential there. And so you need a coach that has proven that they can come in and make a place better. I know a lot of people like James Franklin for that role, even a Matt Campbell. But I'm just curious to see what they do. But I do know that USC, Mike Boehm, Brandon Sosna, the AD, they know that they can't mess this up. You know, they've spent the last couple of years hoping and asking USC fans, hey, can you please trust us? You know, because USC fans didn't care what the admin did until they fired Clay Helton. You know, they, like I said, they tried to beef up the infrastructure, but the USC fans didn't care until one guy was gone, you know? And so now I think the admin knows that this is their chance. This is their time to shine and put their money where their mouth is. And they've been asking USC fans to trust them. And this is the main opportunity where they're going to have to prove and provide for USC fans. So they're taking it seriously. And they're going to do, I think, a good job just because they've tried to do that and everything else they've done so far at USC. So we'll see. But it's going to be a process, and it'll be very interesting to see what comes out, because I know USC likes to really keep things quiet with this new admin.
Keely, I'll see you in the press box. Great job on breaking that story, and thanks for your insight.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Big fan of USCfootball.com. They do a great job covering the team. Interesting development, guys, with Jackson Dart having an arthroscopic surgery on his meniscus. Okay, I'm not an expert doctor, but I've had three knee surgeries. I know that a slight repair to a meniscus is not anywhere the same as a torn ligament or a reconstructive surgery or a ruptured tendon. I've had those things. So I'm looking at this a little skeptically. I know that they're now confirming that Jackson Dart had a meniscus surgery. He's a young player. I'm not convinced he would put himself in danger by trying to go back out and play, but it's a very different kind of surgery, and I do think that you can, and I've seen an NFL defensive back turn around on 1 week after having an arthroscopic surgery where they did a minor trim, go out and play a game. So I've seen that happen. I'm not ruling Jackson Dart like out totally, but I would be really surprised if he started this game, and I'd be surprised a little bit if he plays. But the fact that they covered the cameras up, the fact that they didn't want to see like people see him standing around, that doesn't tell me that they were trying to hide an injury. It may tell me that they're trying to hide that it was just a minor surgery. Do you guys think that Jackson Dart could come back and play days after having an arthroscopic surgery on his knee?
It's not likely. I mean, he won't be able to do what we saw him do against Washington State, that's
no.
For sure. So I don't know, but that's a really interesting development.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Slovis. I think if your USC gives you the best chance to win. I also think that I won't be surprised when Dart ends up back in the lineup and playing here in the next couple of weeks. So I don't think this is the kind of surgery that's going to keep him out for any extended period of time. I've seen guys turn around. And frankly, if I'm USC, the arrogance of USC, let's just deal with it, okay?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.